Okay, good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So as Matt's already covered, this is the start of our worship teaching series. And I was just thinking about this morning, I was thinking about what part I'm playing in this three-part series. When I talk to my children about, you know, Sunday lunch, let's say, for example, you've got a plate of food there and, you know, some of it you really like, some of it you don't like. So I've always said to my children, eat the things you don't like first and then leave the best to last. So that's probably what's happening in this worship series. You're having the sort of sprouts and the cabbage maybe, and you'll get along to the nice stuff later when Dave and Matt come and preach. So before I start, I thought I'd share an interesting article, which I found while I was surfing the web, around some articles found from church newsletters, some Pews News. So these are actual bulletins from Church Pews News, and so we've connected, lovely, thank you. So the first one, Thursday night, potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. Second one is, this afternoon there will be a meeting in the south and north end of the church. Children will be baptised at both ends. The next one, Thursday at 5 p.m, there will be a meeting of the Little Mothers Club. All wishing to become Little Mothers, please come and see the minister in his study. Just saying. The next one, this being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Lewis to come and lay an egg on the altar. The next one, at the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Miss Charlene Mason sang, I will not pass this way again, giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. And the final one is, the rector will preach his farewell message, and after which the choir will sing, break forth with joy. So, Sal, I just guess a few there, just as top tips not to include in Pews News going forward. So, as you can probably guess, I'm going to look at the sung element of worship. No surprise to any of you, I'm sure. Well, it was to me when I was asked to speak on the morning service. Imagine my delight. Was it delight? Delight, when I was asked to preach this morning. But joking aside, quite a few of my friends, I'd say to quite a few of my friends, whilst nervous about this morning, I'm really excited. God's just put that excited nature within me at the moment this morning. And my prayer is that it will be his voice this morning, his thoughts, his words that you hear, and all my ramblings will just fall away. So I find it really interesting and thought-provoking that when it comes to musical worship in churches across the country, most Christians are likely to have a strong opinion about that rather than things like the people in the church and the building. In fact, a recent survey conducted showed that musical worship was among the top three reasons for people deciding to move a church. And I thought to myself, well, why is this? Well, my belief is because it's at the root, often our focus is wrongly directed when it comes to musical worship. We become focused on the sound of the band, the personal likes and dislikes we might have about what types of worship songs we like, preferences about style, song choices, or dare I even say it, worship leader, rather than why we should worship in the first place, which is clearly because it's what our God deserves. So just before we start to unpick this a little bit further, Martin, can we have the YouTube clip? This is a short YouTube clip. Many of you have probably seen this before, and one of my favourite clips on YouTube, and it might speak into this subject just a little, albeit with a few giggles here and there. Okay, yeah, quite tongue-in-cheek. Very American, I know, but whilst funny, I don't know if sometimes maybe it's a cap that fits us, some of those songs. I know sometimes that cap has probably fitted firmly on my head. And I know in the past I've been guilty of losing focus. Being the head music guy here at Welton for the last 3 years and leading worship for 9, and having music surrounding me since I was born, sometimes I get too caught up in the nuts and bolts of music. Making sure that things sound great, there are really, you know, interesting arrangements I put to the songs, they're really cleverly connected together. rather than focusing my attention on what God wants. And at times in the past, it's been more about me rather than God. And that's led to worship, which whilst is musically sound, it's disconnected. And the band and you wonderful people in the congregation can't connect with what we're doing. Thankfully, we have an amazing God, don't we? And he looks past my stupidity and manages to make something of my feeble efforts. But over the last few years, God has really taught me something through that about keeping my eyes, my head and my heart firmly fixed on him. So to help explore this further, I'm going to use the lyrics of one of my favourite worship songs, The Heart of Worship. Before I do this, it's probably just worth briefly touching on how Matt Redman wrote this song. Some of you are probably already aware, but Matt Redman was the worship leader at a church near London. And their corporate, at the time, their corporate worship time was losing its way, losing its focus. Much like me in the past, they'd lost sight of the true meaning of sung worship. And the surrounding musical production had taken more of a focus in their services. Mike Pilavachi, he was the leader of that church at the time, and he took a radical decision to say, right, we're going to strip everything back. We're not going to have any band. We're not going to have any sound system. We're just going to strip everything back, and it's just going to be sung voices a cappella. Initially, that led to some awkward silences, awkward moments, but Mike asked the question of the congregation. When you come through the doors on a Sunday, what are you bringing as an offering to God? And gradually, people started breaking out in their own songs, in heartfelt prayers. And after a while, they felt the time was to gradually reintroduce the worship teams. It was during that time that Matt wrote this song as his own personal reflection of what God had taught him through that situation. And my heart is that by exploring this song together, we too may come back to the heart of worship. So the first line says, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come. I believe our corporate worship time should be about us simply coming. In James 4, verse 8, we read, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Coming to our Father, bowing our hearts before his throne, and giving him our hearts. Together with our prayers and meditation, these are some of the more important opportunities we have to have a deep encounter with our Heavenly Father. I know I've been guilty in the past of maybe just turning up on a Sunday in person, but maybe not in spirit, coming along for the ride or out of duty. That's not what God desires or deserves. It is a wonderful thing that he wishes just to be with us. So surely we just have to simply come. The lyrics continue, longing to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. In 1 Chronicles 16, verses 25 to 29, it says, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Do you know, I often wonder on a Sunday morning what our worship would look like if Jesus were to walk through those back doors, were to come down through the aisle and stand here at the front. I'm fairly sure that our worship would probably look quite different. Would we not want to bring him our very best, even though we know that could never be enough? Would we not want to bless his heart? Well, we know his promise is always to be with us, and therefore we simply have to bring our best to him in worship. The next line in the song says, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. God doesn't want us just to go through the motions, as we heard in that clip in one of the songs. He just doesn't want us to sing songs without seeking to meet him through our worship. I believe he wants us to go deeper through our praise and worship to have a meaningful encounter with him, an encounter that meets us wherever we are, whatever our needs are, be they spiritual, health, otherwise. An encounter where God moves amongst us and lives within us. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me if you seek me with all of your heart." I don't know about you, but I want to find my risen Saviour anew every time I come to him in worship so that I can have that meaningful encounter. The reality is, isn't it, that we're a fallen people and therefore things often tend to get in the way. However, our God is an amazing God. And if we come to him with worshipful hearts, he can deal with this stuff. And that brings me nicely on to the closing lines of the first verse, which say, "You search much deeper within, though the way things appear, you're looking into my heart." For me, the beauty of sung worship, musical worship, is that if we allow him to, God can deal with our heart. He can build us up when we need it. He can deal with the dark places. He can sort out our sin. He can change our focus, give us new direction, or he can simply just touch us in ways that we just cannot explain. Do you know, there have been times in my walk with God where I've struggled, big style, where I've drifted away from God. And when I look back, I can see that often it's because the place of worship in my life has gone wrong. I've stopped worshiping God. Or actually, I've started worshipping other things like money, friendships, acclaim, promotions. Equally, there's been lots of amazing times I've had with God where I've had an encounter through musical worship where he has touched my heart and my mind. He's put a finger on things which in my life that need changing. Or he's just put an arm of comfort around me. In the Psalms, we read many a line about this heart subject. Psalm 139, we read, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." And therefore, the beauty of God's encounter with us in these times is that he can search our hearts and he can change us for his glory. So why worship? Well, I know it doesn't come across, but I'm a bit of an emotional guy, really. And singing worship songs helps me to express my feelings and thoughts before God. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, a momentary feeling when you hear a fantastic harmony or a funky beat. I'm talking about the spiritual emotions, emotions that are directed towards our Father God and express how much we love him. I do know, however, that for many, emotions in sung worship can seem like an alien concept. But should that stop us from worshiping? Do we not engage in our corporate worship times because it's not our thing? Well, I go back to the start of my talk. If that's the case, then perhaps our focus is wrongly directed. We are instructed many times over in the Bible to sing praises to God. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." James 5, verse 13 says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is any happy? Let them sing songs of praise." 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 says, What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each one of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a tongue or interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. In fact, we know even God's only Son and our Saviour did it many times. An example of that, we share communion, was at the Last Supper of Mark 4, verse 14, verse 26. We hear that when they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. So surely we have no choice to make but simply worship. And if we did, perhaps God would change our hearts too. The reality is the power of sung worship cannot be underestimated. One of the powers it has is to draw people to the Father's heart. The Bible teaches over and over again that God would draw seekers to himself through authentic worship by his people. More people are won to Christ by feeling God's presence than all of our intellectual arguments combined. Few people, if any, are saved purely on intellectual grounds. The sense of God's presence melts hearts and changes minds. People new to church may not understand all that happens in a house of worship. They may not understand the meaningful of a song or the significance of communion which we've had this morning, but they do know joy when they see it. And when they see outwardly, when we see ourselves outwardly express our faith through sung worship. They know when lives are impacted. They can read when lives are changed. And when they do, surely they will want to have what we have. By the way, wouldn't the same be true for the opposite? What happens when somebody who's searching for God comes and sees boredom on the faces of worshippers? What if they see scowls or yawns? Will they be attracted to Christ then? It is often said that if the church was on fire for God, then people would flock for miles to come and see it burn. When people far from God hear those people close to God giving heartfelt praise, when they see heartfelt worship, surely they've got to be intrigued. It's like wanting to see that burning church. There is a mystery and a wonder behind it. Questions are asked, why is that happening? Sparks from the fire of our worship can ignite dry hearts, causing them to sing a new song. So, where do we go from here? Well, I'm a bit of a simple man. No comments, thank you, from anybody who knows me really well. But I'm also a practical man, and I like to understand what things I can do to help me in my worship life. So I've put a few things together as a starter for 10, or 5 in this instance. First of all, worship shouldn't just be a Sunday morning thing. Worship shouldn't be one of these things that we take dust off on a Sunday morning before we come to church, maybe come along in the evening, and then, yeah, we finish with that. We'll put that back on the shelf. Worship should be a part of our, integral part of our daily lives. And musical worship can be the same. I work in Bristol, and therefore I try to listen to worship music on my daily commute. For some of you, this may not work. For others, it might just be about having music playing while you're doing the dishes or the housework. It could be just putting a few songs on in the background whilst you're having dinner. Whatever works for you, really. Second tip I've got for you is prepare your hearts for the coming Sunday. Take time during the week to pray for the upcoming Sunday services. Hold the preacher, the worship team, and everyone else involved in a service in your prayers, asking God to protect them, to guide them, to minister them as the week goes on. Third one I got for you is come expectant to meet with Jesus. Did you know at 10 o'clock every morning on a Sunday, people who are here come together and meet and have prayer? Just for 10 or 15 minutes, we have prayer time. And also at 20 past 10, the worship team starts playing some worship songs. These are both great opportunities to really start the Sunday as you mean to go on. There's plenty of time for fellowship and for coffee and a natter after the service. Number four is pray for an encounter. At the start of the service, just ask God that he'll give you an open heart of worship, that he'll open your mind and allow you to meet him where you are and minister to you. Most of all, that he'll help you keep your eyes fixed firmly on him. And then the last one I've got is give him his worth. Just bring as much as you can during our worship time. God wants to meet with us, which is such an amazing thing. We're all so unworthy to be even in his presence, but still he delights in our praises. So throw yourself in. Bring your voices, your words, your hands, your feet before his throne, and he will do the rest. He will visit us. The chorus of the song says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. Do you desire to come to the heart of worship? Do you want to make it all about him? Is there a change of focus needed? I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, because it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. Do you know, that's my prayer, as much for myself as it is for any of us. You know, Lord, I'm truly sorry for the times that my focus has been wrongly directed. When I've spent all my effort trying to make things sound great and leaving you out of the equation. Jesus, I just want to make it all about you. I just want us all, just for a moment, just to close our eyes. The worship team are just going to start playing in the background. And I just invite you to close your eyes. And let's invite God in. And ask God to change our focus here this morning. Just get a sense of how he delights in our praises. How he so much wants to dwell within us. And to come and have an encounter with us. Father God, we are truly sorry for the times when we have not worshipped you as instructed and in spirit and in truth. We are sorry for the times when we have not worshipped you because our eyes were fixed on what our wants and needs. We're sorry that sometimes we've made worship more about us than you. Lord, forgive us, and through your mercy and love, would you just start to bring about a change in us? A change that will fix our eyes on you. A change that will open our hearts to your will. A change that will allow you to encounter us wherever we are and deal with the parts of our lives that you want dealing with. Father God, your worth is just so far above anything we have to offer. And yet you delight in what we do offer you. What a wonderful, amazing thing it is that you do this. That you want to dwell within us. And Father, would you just set a fire within our hearts? A fire that will burn bright within us. A fire that is so fierce, none can put it out. A fire that will just be so visible that people will not fail but see you shining through us. A fire that will draw people to the truth of your love for all. Father, would you just do that for us? Would you change our hearts and lead us back to that heart of worship? We're going to start to join together in singing the Heart of Worship, the song which we've been looking through. But if you want to stay sat and just listen to the music, then that's fine. Whatever you feel that God's asking you to do.